Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. And it's now time to talk to our good friend Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, who joins us now. Chris, what's up?
Man, what is going on, man? Getting ready for Easter. How y'all brothers doing, man?
You going to do an Easter egg hunt?
No, man. No, I can't reach down and grab the egg because my hamstrings might pop. So I'm
I bet you'd be no fun. You'd get all the eggs before I even bit down to get one.
Hey, when I was 26, I could, but I'm 50. I'll be 54 this year, so it'll be a lost cause.
Don't even start with us on this.
Yes, I'm 54.
Do you want to, Joe, do you want to tell him who we saw yesterday?
So, Chris, yesterday, we're at the Omni downtown, and I start talking to this young man, and he tells me that he has a picture of you in his office scoring a touchdown in 1995. And I was like, because I mentioned that you come on the show with us quite a bit.
Yep.
He is your former team doctor for the Houston Oilers in 1995.
Oh, my gosh.
Todd Northrup.
Who?
Todd. Were you on that team back then?
Hey, I was, but I do not remember.
Todd Northrup is the – Northrup was the – he was the team doctor. And he remembers vividly.
I remember Elrod and –
That was here. Todd was in Houston, and then Bud said, we're moving to Tennessee.
Yeah,
and Dr. Northrup said, I'm not moving to Nashville. Take care.
See, I can't. That was 5, 26, 27, 28, 29, 31. That was 31. I can't remember 31 years ago.
You were in 95. You were too worried about your hair and the parachute pants and things like
well,
that.
Well, we're not sure you were on the team in 95 and 96. We're going to check into that.
I was. I made the whole rookie team, man. Hey, nice to meet you.
He says he sits down at his desk and he's got a bunch of pictures, and your picture's right across his desk of catching a touchdown in 1995.
Isn't that picture of you, you had scored a touchdown and you're praying? Isn't that the Astrodome?
Yes, that one, and then the one where Big Joe was on the sidelines at the Liberty Bowl.
That's right. It's a Raiders game.
Candy. I remember that one.
Yeah. So I was going to tell Dr. Northrup you said hi, but I'm going to scratch that email right now.
Well, he's he said, who? Who the hell is that?
Oh, my gosh.
Now I feel bad, man, but just tell him I know him. He's a great guy.
Oh, I'm not saying a word to him. I'm not getting involved in this. That's between you two, not us.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
I guess I'll ask a football question now.
Sure,
how about that?
Sure.
One thing that came up at the owners' meetings when Robert Saleh and everybody talked and Mike Borgonzi talked was deciding to keep Calvin Ridley. And one of the things that was referenced that it was better to keep him around for Cam Ward because of the relationship that they had. Do you think that we're going to see even more improvement from Ridley in particular because of that, knowing that they kept him because Cam really wanted him?
Yeah, number one, I mean, Cam, when he's on the field, I mean, he can be a threat. I know last year he struggled. I know he struggled with the Bronco game and then, couldn't stay healthy. But when you have a veteran guy like that to where a quarterback is in his second year, he's going to make your quarterback better. I know everybody gets upset because he hasn't produce like we wanted him to, but you got to understand it. When you have a wide receiver that has the same eyes as your quarterback, he's going to make your quarterback better. Okay, I want the pass here. If I run a comeback, I want it in this spot. If I'm running a go route, I want it in this spot. If I'm running a curl route, I want it in this window. So he's teaching them the game. He's teaching them about coverages to make him be a great quarterback. So I think it's a great idea because now you don't have to go out and get a receiver in the first round. You can get a receiver in the second or third round to come in and compliment him if you wanted to.
How much do you think the coaching change is going to affect Ridley in a positive way, both Saleh and Dable?
I mean, I don't think it's going to affect him at all because this guy's been in the league. I just think that the terminology may change, with different schemes. I mean, everybody runs a hitch, everybody runs a slant, everybody runs a post, everybody runs those routes. But with the different offensive coordinator with the ball and, you got Saleh in there also, the terminology is going to be just a little bit different. So it's not going to affect him because he's done this so many times. He had different coaches. It's just adapted to how they want him to do it, and I think it's going to be a good fit.
Our man Chris Sanders with us today at the Chase and Big Joe Show. Listen, if you're Jeremiah Love, look, you got drafted.
Whoa.
You're sitting there. Jeremiah Love's at number four. He's thinking, all right, everybody's saying Titans, 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 Titans. When you got drafted, you thought you were going to Washington, right?
Yeah, I did. I thought I was going because here's the thing is – you know, you're thinking that a team, if they're paying attention to you, because after I did my individual workout at Ohio State, Rubisky, who was the wide receiver coach with Washington at that time, he got me on the board. He talked about coverages. He was asking me questions about routes. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to take me in the second round. But then I get to the second round, and they pick somebody else, and then we get to the third round, the 67th pick, and Houston Oilers taking me at that time, / Titans. You know, they never talked to me. They never were interested, but they were silently had their eye on me, and that's exactly what happened.
That's the same way I approach women at bars. Hey, listen, shut your mouth. Just speak, move on. Listen, all right, so when they're telling you Washington, you're probably thinking, yes. Back then, you're probably like, all right, man, they got the monument. I could live in this part of town, yes. And your mind's already there. And then all of a sudden, Houston. I mean, what was that like, realizing, like, God, do I know anything about Houston?
No, it's funny because, you know, I didn't care if I got picked by anybody. But in my mind, you said it exactly right, because I'm like, okay, what is this? I'm going to Washington. What is this all about? I don't know. I'm thinking that because they show so much interest on picking me. But when they didn't pick me, I was like, okay, where am I going now? But then when Houston picked me, I'm like, okay, what do I got to do? What's up with Houston? You know, don't really know. I knew about Love You Blue, but I didn't really know a lot about it. But once I got there, I had to adapt what I was doing.
Did Floyd call you or Fisher call you?
It was Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher called me.
And then,
you know,
hey, Chris, we really like your game. We want to take you.
We got a lot of receivers, but hey, I love you.
You want to be a lawyer?
When did you talk to Floyd for the first time?
I didn't talk to Floyd until I actually showed up. You know, when I showed up, I had a chance
to meet him. But the first pregame show we did like 5 years ago, that was when we talked.
Yeah, but I actually talked to him a little bit, but I really didn't start to build a relationship until I actually got here and really understand who Floyd was, because I was just trying to really, you know, establish myself on a team and, you know, earn respect of my players. So I just shook his hand, you know, and just went on and just tried to do my job. But when we actually got here, I actually got a chance to know Floyd Reese and his family and his son, all those things that I really, really love about Floyd. Yep.
Isn't that funny how a decision like that, and if you don't get drafted by Houston, you're not on the radio with us right now. Right?
Man,
you're not here.
I know. I'm not here. I thought I was going to end up in Washington. And it's funny because everything works out like it's supposed to be, because I met two great men like Joe and Chase. I mean, I never would be able to experience that if I never would have got drafted and we moved here from the Oilers. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I thought it was a great job by even meeting you guys. I don't like Joe, but I like Chase.
So would your advice be to everybody that's a potential first rounder, just let it play out? Don't see yourself here or there. Just let it play out.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Look at the first pick. Everybody in their mind is thinking they're going to take the Raiders are going to take Mendoza. Didn't they just sign Kirk?
Yes.
Kirk Cousins for a $5 million deal? We may think they're taking Mendoza, but what happens if they go and get somebody like Arvell Reese from Ohio State? It's going to shake everything up. So even though, you know, you have a concept of who you might take, but what happens if those first two guys go somewhere totally opposite of what we're thinking? So we don't know. I mean, every year there's something crazy that happens, and that's what makes the draft so special, because we think we know, but we actually don't know.
That is true. Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. What do you think some of these – I mean, obviously it's different now, but with social media and stuff, but
oh my god,
at what point do you think these prospects just kind of have to start tuning it all out and just get to draft night?
I mean, you have to. It's so ridiculous now. I mean, just look at when you go to the combine. I mean, look how big it's got. I mean, they have a whole special for 3 days. I mean, it's like look at him walk. He just tied his shoe. He drank some water. He talked to the coach. He's sneezing. I mean, it's bananas. But now you got a situation to where you got to start tuning out the mess, because when you start looking on social media, you start looking at Instagram and TikTok, and they start saying, oh, he's going to go at this pick, he's going to go at that pick. Now your mind is kind of jarred because you really don't know what's going on. They have a concept of what's going on, but in actuality, they don't. So you just got to tune that stuff out.
We were talking about the Chiefs earlier and how I'd be very afraid of them if I was the rest of the NFL, that they're going to come back with a vengeance. Is that, I mean, you've been a part of teams that have not achieved your goals. Is that a real thing of, like, within that locker room that you don't even have to talk about it, but everybody just kind of knows, like, watch out?
I mean, it's yes, watch out, because here's the thing. Look at what they did on the offseason. They went and got Walker, the MVP of the Super Bowl, because they figure out, okay, we know that Mahomes is coming off injury. We're going to take the pressure off him and go get somebody that has experience of being in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, you better watch out, because they're hungry, they're mad, they had a disappointing season. Kelsey's coming back, so you better believe they're going to come back. Just like in, I think it was in 2000 when we lost when we 1999 when we lost the Super Bowl. When we came back on that offseason, you didn't have to ask nobody to show up for OTAs. You didn't have to ask nobody to show up for practice. You didn't have to ask nobody to lift weights, because we're like, hold up, we got a taste of being great, and I'm hungry for some more. So I guarantee you that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be hungry for some more.
Did you, when a guy did not go to the voluntary workouts, everybody, and wasn't there, did you look at him differently? I feel like you're all sweating and you're working together and you're there every day and everything, and a guy's like not there. It always would bug me just a little bit, and it shouldn't bug me, but it does.
It does, but see, we didn't have that problem in 1999. You didn't have to pay me $1 million just to come and lift weights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Give me or biggie bag to come and lift weights. I don't need that, because here's the deal. If you have 73 or 53 guys that love football, I know everybody does their own workouts and do their thing. That's great. But if guys love football and have the same identity, have the same heart, have the same vision, instead of buying in, you trust in. What does trust in mean? That means, in spite of me being tired and don't want to go TAs, I'm going to be there because of my teammates. Give you a perfect example with Eddie George. Eddie George had a massage person. He did his own workouts, but when it came to OTAs, when it came to practice, he was there every single day. Why? Because he loves football.
Why are most football players closer with the strength coach than anybody else on the staff?
I mean, because it's a relationship. I mean, I'm going to give a shout-out to my man, Steve Watterson. I talked to him about two or three weeks ago, and it's because of the relationship you built. Because when you have a person that wants to see you get better, that cares about your well-being, that cares about your strength, that cares about you running that 4-3, he cares about you being great, then you're going to build a relationship with him. And that's why the strength and conditioning guy is so important, because he gets to be around the players every single day through OTAs and practice and lifting weights. He may not be in the film room, but he's consistently there to be a part of building and developing the man.
Could you go to him with any problem that you had, knowing that in confidence he would take it together and help you out?
1,000%. I did it a lot of times. I mean, especially when I hurt my hamstring. Not just hurt my hamstring, but we would just sit there sometimes and just talk about life. And the reason why I love Coach Watterson is we're away from football. We're sitting on the field and we're just kind of just talking. And we're just talking about how Christ changed our lives. I mean, and we have conversations like that. It just shows you that it wasn't just about football. It's about building a relationship with somebody that you love. And I'll tell you, Watterson is not just a great strength and conditioning guy. He was just a great person who cared about every individual, from the guy who started to the guy who didn't even play. He cared about everybody in that organization.
I can't believe I haven't asked you this, but what would the 54-year-old Chris Sanders tell the 1995 Chris Sanders who just got drafted by the Houston Oilers?
You know what? I would tell that Chris Sanders is, don't be selfish, because I'm gonna tell you a story, and I'm just gonna be real frank. I was in 2000, the year we were playing Ravens, and we lost. And the thing about it is, when we lost, before that game, the coach asked me to change position. Instead of going into the being on the perimeter, he wanted me to go into the slot. So I got an attitude, and I had a terrible practice that week. So we get into the game, and I played terrible. So if I could talk to the younger Chris, I'd be like, man, listen, you have an opportunity to change position to help the team. But the reason why we didn't do well is because I was very, very, very selfish. And I would tell that younger Chris not to be selfish in that situation.
How do you get over that? How do you forgive yourself?
That's the key. You got to forgive yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's the key, because it haunted me for like 2 years, because everybody blamed Del Greco, and they blamed Steve McNair. But I dropped like 2 and 3 passes that game that caused us to lose. So, it's hard, but at the end of the day, you got to look in the mirror and love and forgive that person, and that's what it is.
Chris, great stuff. I always feel better after these interviews. Happy, and by the way, I laugh at your April Fool's joke as well. Enjoy Houston.
Real quick, Chris, our question of the day is, what's your scar story? You got scars?
Yeah, I do. It was in high school. I remember this would be a quick story. We were practicing, and I was a freshman and whatever, whatever. And I was doing better than older guys. So the head coach, gathered everybody around. He said this. He said, if you think you're better than the older guys, I want you to stand up. So I stood up, and he looked at me. He said, you know what? You're the worst receiver I've ever seen.
Dang.
And it scarred me for 2 years that I was playing in fear and insecurity until I had to break that, until I got a coach named Don Gaywood to tell me that I was great, and I had to break that cycle. That's the reason why I coach, to tell kids to say, if somebody says you can't, you can, to become everything that God's called you to be. That was one of the scars that I had.
Emotional scars.
That's a good one.
And there's another one now with the team doctor you don't remember, but that's okay.
Chris, appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
Happy Easter to you and Miss Faith. I hope you have a good one.
Thank you. You too, fellas. Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us on the show. I have our friend Adam in Portland has given me an idea, because his whole text chain is basically about he thinks the 90s are better than the 80s.
Okay.
So I want to look at this with music, movies, TV, football. Sports,
sure,
basketball, whatever, 80s or 90s?
That's a great
What do
question.
You think?
It's a great question.
615-737-1025. There's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can take it anywhere you want it. I have some thoughts. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on a Friday, 1025 The Game.